I've already been told that my notes are incomprehensible. That's true. This morning is going to be different, and if you're a guest, I apologize. We usually go pretty deep into the Word, this morning, again, it's just going to be different. You won't understand the notes until I talk about them. I actually debated whether or not to give you notes, but the reason I did is there's things in there I want you to be able to pray into later. So I'm going to encourage you to hang on to these, and there might be some things that stand out to you, and God's telling you, pray that. So they'll make more sense as I go. The reason it's going to be different is I have become convinced that God is preparing us for a move of God that will bring new things to our region. But also, and this is important, that he's reviving things from a past move of God. Those of you who have been here a long time know that we had a significant move of God in the 90s, in the early 90s for us, peaked probably in the mid-90s, but also for us really went into the early 2000s where we had move of God activity going on. That it, you know, there were people coming from around the country, from other nations. If you were here, you remember. If you weren't here, you know, try and be here for this one. But what I'm convinced of, and what I want to do this morning is tell you how I've become convinced of that and try and convince you, build a little faith, because I think good things are coming. I'm convinced that he's going to somehow do this together, both do a new move of God and revive something from our past, and that they're tied together. And I find that interesting. And so I'm just going to go through some of the prophetic things that have been happening that have convinced me of this, so that hopefully you're with me. Or we could conclude I'm crazy, and that's fine too. If that's the consensus, then you can talk me down and we'll just do something else. All right? It could happen. All right, so let's go all the way back to May, and I'm going to go from May of this year to now. And in May, I began to have the sense that God wanted us to go to next level worship, whatever next level means to God, that he wanted to kick it up a notch in worship. And so I began to teach into that, and that's the reason we moved the bulk of worship to the end of the service, so that we would be free to respond to whatever God did in worship. Because to me, next level worship means he starts doing stuff we haven't planned, right? And so we have to at least leave him a little time. So sometimes the church should make room for the Holy Spirit to come to church. Right? Just sometimes. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I've been, all the topics I've been teaching on since May have been really teaching into this, greater intimacy, just going to the next level with Jesus. So if you look back, you can probably figure that out. So that's the trajectory I've been on since May. I'm a big believer in just do what God told you till he tells you something different, right? So we're still doing that. We're still doing May, going for the next level, whatever that is. And in June, we got, I'm not going to explain who all these people are. Stuart Greaves, you'll, most of you know him because he used to go here. He is with IHOP in Kansas City. He's Mike's kind of, Mike Bickle's right-hand man. I forget what his title is because they change all the time, but it's a good title, whatever it is. I just call him Stuart. Anyway, Stuart texted Rachel and I in June and said this. He had had an angelic encounter. Now, I thought he had just had a word. We had to get it out of him later. Stuart holds things real close to his vest because he doesn't want people to be impressed with how the word came. He wants people to be impressed with Jesus. So apparently him and an angel worked this out. I still don't have that whole story out of him. But the word was that it was time for us to believe and contend for power, deliverance, and the prophetic like in the days gone by. Now, Stuart was here in the days gone by. He was here in the 90s and 2000s. And so that's what he's referencing. I want you to pay attention to how many times the 90s or days gone by comes up in this, because it took me all the way until October to get it. So you guys, I'd like you to get it earlier, okay? Anyway, I went, that's great, that's a good word, because I'm praying into going to the next level in worship anyway. That works for me. Let's contend for power and deliverance and the prophetic like in days gone by. Amen? Okay, so that was June. In July, Rachel, out of the blue, says, I feel like it's time to revisit our history of God moving. Again, the 90s and the early 2000s. We did this, I think, about 2.5 years ago. And so she goes, I'm just feeling like it's time that we need to revisit that. So, spoiler alert, we're going to do that in 2 weeks. We're going to just kind of give you that history again, because sometimes it's important to do that. The Old Testament talks about keeping his covenant and his testimonies. The fathers and mothers were supposed to tell the children the stories so they didn't forget what God could do, like Israel did. You know, forget what God could do. Amen. So sometimes you just go back and tell the story. So we're going to do that in 2 weeks. But I found it interesting that Rachel, in July, felt like it was time to do this. So, okay, I still haven't clued in, but yeah, sure, we'll do that sometime, honey. That was kind of my response. In August, Keith, and if Keith, if you want to just come up, and Keith had a dream that is becoming more significant. The first time he told me, I kind of went, yeah, that's a good dream, because I didn't get it yet. Sometimes the prophetic has to say stuff 8 or 10 times for me to get it. So go ahead, Keith.
Well, it's true that the Word of God is active and alive, because God has been drawing me recently just to become a little closer to Him, more intimacy, like Tony's been teaching. And so I decided, yes, I need to be spending more time in prayer. So I was here in church early in the morning, and it all has to do with a dream at that time when I was standing in the back of the church. Well, the dream was that I was in a building, and it looked like rubble, and it looked like, I don't know, like a bomb hit it, or it was an old building or something, and there was rubble around. And I said, whoever was with me, I said, we got to get out of here. And so we moved to that place into, the next scene was like a river that was right there. And by that river, Tony was standing with me at that river. And all of a sudden, I said, this hasn't happened since Pastor Jim was here.
And, when was Pastor Jim here?
In the 90s.
Okay, thank you.
So it was very significant when I said that, when that word came, I said, this hasn't happened since Pastor Jim has been here. And then I heard a voice said, don't wait. And there was a boat right there, like a sailboat. And Tony and I were standing there, and the voice said, don't wait. And so it meant get in the boat. And so Tony and I stepped in the boat right then, and then all of a sudden, the boat just took off. The wind just took it, and it just sailed so quickly. And the next scene was this beautiful island, and it was just glowing. And the island just, you know, we went from one place, which was like rubble, a place that was not good, to this place that was beautiful and just transformed and gorgeous. So that's basically what the dream was.
Okay, and tell them about the confirmation you asked for.
I mentioned, I was in the back. Like I said, God was drawing me to pray more. So I was in the back of the church praying, and I felt like God was saying, this was the time. This was the time of that dream. This is the time. Now is the time. And I said, God, is now the time? I said, God, if now is the time, then do something different in this service today. I mean, I was like, God, do something different. And so at that point, Ted, which hasn't been here in a long time, came.
In years.
It's been years. And he wasn't even supposed to be here at that time. And many of you know Ted, and I'm sure you'll talk about the significance that he has in the prophetic and everything. But he said he was going to go to Freedom that day. And so he was with his son, because his son moved down here, Josh. And Josh says, no, he says, I don't want to go to Freedom today. I want to go to Church on the Rock. And so that's what brought him here that day. And so
it was different.
It was different. As many of you may know, he challenged us to seek God and to really go for God, you know. And so at that time, God started moving and things started happening. And I'm like, God, this is, you're right. This now is the time. And this now is the time thing has become significant in my life, and I know in the church's life also. So
hand the mic to Rachel. Because Rachel had an impression, those of you who were here that Sunday, because it was just a couple months ago, probably remember. So go ahead and tell your impression of this confirmation that was, apparently he was on the way to Freedom, and now
Ted's
Keith asked for a confirmation and screwed up his whole plan.
So confirmation walks in the door. Ted was with us in the 90s and a very good friend of ours. We hadn't seen him for a while, like Keith said. So I had seen him Thursday night because he stayed the night at our house. We'd gone to Grace Church's grand opening. So I'd seen my friend, and we had actually seen him 2 summers ago. I'm saying this to let you know that the emotion that I felt that day wasn't sentiment of seeing an old friend. So Ted walks in the back door. I'm on the keys leading worship, and I'm telling you guys, it was as if Jesus himself had walked in that door. I had never felt that feeling before. I actually felt Jesus in my brother. And it wasn't Ted, it was Jesus. So I started to cry, so I'm trying to hold it together. I'm saying, you know, trying to let you guys know what's going on, because worship leaders need to do that. And I just kept holding back the tears and holding back the tears. And all I knew at that moment was if all the promises of God that we'd been sowing into, believing through the 90s into the early 2000s, you know, highly level prophetic people like Sean Bowles, Lou Engle, I could go on, coming in and telling us, you know, Bob Jones, telling us who we are in this region, telling us who we are in this congregation with other congregations, walked into that room and it was like, bam, you're married to now. So after worship, I just went back. He was on the back row, and I probably wept on his shoulder for like 3 or 4 minutes. I couldn't. I just had to get it out. After Tony's message, we go back up to worship, and I'm still kind of jarred a little bit, and Ted walks out. And I know that he's going home because he has to go home because his flight is that afternoon. But I didn't know the timing. But again, you guys, it was as if Jesus walked out. And all I felt, I was this close to getting off the keyboard and going, Jesus, don't go, don't go. I was going to run after him, although I knew it was really Ted. I was not giving him Jesus authority, or he's not Jesus. But it was, again, it was just such the heart of a God in feeling Jesus in my brother, which I'm starting to think that will happen. We will begin to feel Jesus in each other as time goes on. But anyway.
Thank you. Okay, anybody interested yet? Okay, good, good. There's more, because I hadn't figured it out yet. All right. So I go into the hall after church, and I'm talking with Ted, because, you know, we're buddies, and he stayed at our house, and he surprised me and came to church that morning. And he's getting ready to head back out and go back to the Carolinas. And he goes, hey, I'm coming down this fall. I'm going to come here for a week. You pick the day. And we're gonna do a conference Friday, Saturday, Sunday, A Time to Remember. I'm going to call it A Time to Remember. Now, that's an interesting title. We didn't end up landing on that, but I just thought it was interesting what was in his heart. And he's talking to me like this is a done deal. And I'm in my head thinking, you know, I'm the pastor here. I should have known about this conference. But I've done business with Ted before, so I know how these things go. So I'm like, okay. And I said, and I was actually thinking at this point, I've been trying to get Stuart and Chris Reed, and it didn't have them lined up yet. I'm still, well, I've been trying to get them lined up for November, Maybe that'll happen. I'm thinking I'll get, and then later I'm thinking I'll do this, or we'll get Chris Reed in November. If we can't get Chris Reed in November, we'll get him in the new year. So Stuart ends up going, hey, we really like December. And I'm like, okay, we'll do this in November and Chris Reed in December. We'll just do it all this fall because that's what we do. We pack everything into the holidays. Sure. So I'm just going along. Ted's planning this event that's very clear in his head, and I'm just hearing about it here. And so long story short, we end up planning the event for November, which you're hearing about as the Go For It weekend, because I just know it's a weekend we're supposed to go for it, and I told Aaron, and Aaron liked the name and goes, it's the Go For It weekend. So there we go. Now, the reason Aaron's involved is, as I'm talking to Ted about this weekend, and what are your thoughts about this weekend that we're doing that I didn't know about? And he says, well, he has some thoughts. It involved coffee, which I was excited about. And he says, I want to, the speakers, the people leading it, I want to be the people that were youth in the 90s and 2000s during that move of God. So Jer's going to speak. Aaron's going to speak. Josh Franklin's going to speak. People who were teenagers at the time we had that move of God, or young men and women. So again, the 90s and the 2000s is coming up, but I have not figured that out yet. So I'll let Aaron tell you a little bit more about that right at the end, about what we're going to do. So I'm like, okay, so we've scheduled that for the second weekend in November. That's coming up, this Go For It weekend. Good? Now, in September, something interesting happens. We have been praying as pastors. Tim Franklin started a pastor's prayer meeting in 1988, every Thursday at 11:30, and we've been doing it ever since, 1988. And usually it's half a dozen to a dozen pastors praying. Now, in the 90s, right before we had this move of God, we had this interesting dynamic going on. We were doing these retreats over in San Pedro Retreat Center in Orlando. And we would get 40, 50, 60 pastors, different denominations. John, you remember going to those, right? We'd get different denominations. We got them from all over the county, a few of them from out of the county. And we would just pray for 3 days and fellowship and worship and love each other. And God would come and do stuff. And that sort of built to the revival we had in the 90s. So there was this tremendous prayer and unity going on beforehand among pastors. Well, since then, it's been mostly just a few of us guys down here praying. But something happened in September where we've been coming out of the Luis Palau event. They've been trying to figure out a way for the pastors that have been interacting to pray more. And the pastors in the North County have been praying, but COVID had really wreaked havoc on their prayer meeting. And so I'm sure how this came about, but somewhere in September they said, hey, we're going to come down. And Vieira isn't that far, because we would move the prayer meeting from church to church. It's just a rotating, whose turn is it to host the prayer meeting? So Tim Franklin up at Freedom said, Tim, you host it. At Vieira, the pastors from the north end of the county will come down, and we'll come up, and we'll just see what God does. And so God showed up. It was lots of fun. We had about 20 guys, or men and women. And it's been for a month now, running 20 or so. And they said, this is great. We can make Vieira. We'll come down if you'll leave it here. And we said, done. The meeting's here. And so suddenly, we now have the entire county represented as pastors coming together and praying. And I kept having these pastors say, man, something's changed. This means it's gone up a notch. Something's different. I'll give you this as an idea. This last Thursday, just 3 days ago, you ready for this? Y'all are sitting down. We got 20, I think there were 21 pastors at this one. And we worship and we pray. And we're supposed to be done at 12:30. And it's 1. And no one wants to leave because the presence of God is there. And so the pastors are just sitting there quietly. Did you hear that? 20 pastors just sitting together quietly in the presence of God. I'm going, this is different. Amen. Something's happening, guys. And so, but what was interesting to me is the second meeting, Roger Hackenberg walks in, who is a pastor up in Titusville. but used to be a pastor down here. And immediately, I'm remembering Roger, because I hadn't seen him in a while, and I'm picturing playing basketball with him at San Pedro in the 90s when we would go on those retreats over in Orlando. And I'm going, man, that's interesting. But I still haven't gotten it yet, okay? Lots of 90s stuff. Tony's still clueless. All right, so morning prayer, September. I tell the people in morning prayer, because I tell them stuff, you should come to morning prayer if you want to know what things are happening so that you can pray about it. I let them know things ahead of time. Sometimes I tell them what I'm going to talk about so they can pray into it. And I told them, hey, we're having this Go For It weekend coming up. Told them about that in November and how it came about. And we have Chris Reed coming in December. Chris Reed is probably the newest, very prophetic, national prophetic voice. Chris Reed and Stuart Greaves are going to be coming in December. I showed you that clip from him when I talked about the fear of the Lord. That's going to be exciting. So I'm telling him about it and said, we should pray into that. And Joan Exley, who's on Zoom, pipes in and says, hey, don't you turn 61 this year? And I said, yes, I do. She said, do you remember the word I gave you like 20 years ago? And I went, no, 61. She goes, I gave you a word like 20 years ago that when you were 61, the things you were after for God were going to happen, something like that. I went, well, that's interesting. Now, as it turns out, I went back and found it because I had written down these things, and I found, it was 20 years ago. I found the word, and it was 63, but I asked her before I told her I found it, and it was 63. I called her, and I said, How did you feel real strongly about 61? She goes, yeah, I really did. I said, okay, it was 63, so I'm going to take them both. I don't know what to do with that. So I'm going to take 61 and 63. I can have 2 years. So anyway, but it's the stuff that happened after that's more interesting to me. So I said, she says 61, and I immediately start thinking Isaiah 61. And I go, I'm supposed to look at Isaiah 61. And I know there's good stuff in Isaiah 61, but honestly, there's good stuff in all Isaiah 60 chapters, and I forget which one's which. So I could not remember what Isaiah 61 was. But while I'm looking up Isaiah 61, Lori McCowan is, do we have Luke 4:18? Put Luke 4:18 up, is that up? Yeah, awesome. Lori McCowan's going, oh, I'm really excited about Chris Reed because he's part of, there have been all these words about God's getting ready to do Luke 4:18. And he's been a part of that in April out at IHOP. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me. It's just all the stuff we want, right? And so while she's looking up Luke 4:18, I'm looking up Isaiah 61:1. Can we put that up, please? Does it look familiar? Jesus in Luke 4:18 is quoting Isaiah 61:1. So I go, well, that's interesting. You'd think I would remember that. I didn't. And then I go, oh, by the way, we're starting Chris Reed's, the first night here is December 10th, which is my 61st birthday. So I'm like, well, okay. That's all I want for my birthday is whatever God said. So I'm interested. But I'm still... haven't figured it out yet. Okay, so then Keith Carroll, who's also on Zoom at the prayer meeting, pipes up and says, hey, Tony, you remember at Elders when I gave that word about fasting? And I said, fasting is really important. That's going to be the what brings the breakthrough. We need to fast and pray into this. Remember me talking about that? I said, yeah, I kind of do. I said, interestingly, and I was getting ready for that teaching I did to the men, and God had just kind of put it on my heart to fast. So I was about, I don't know, 5 or 6 days into a fast right then. We're just talking. There's no significant presence of the Lord in the prayer meeting. We need to get back to prayer, but somehow we're just talking right now. And I go, huh. I said, interestingly, I'm fasting right now. And bam, the Spirit of God hits me, and I start tearing up. And I got to go get a Kleenex and wipe my eyes. And now, if you guys, for those of you who don't know me, this is relatively unusual. This just doesn't happen to me. Now, I don't know for sure what that means, but I'm just going to say God's underlying fasting, okay? Because that, you know, I hardly ever cry. So we'll call that an underline from God. Keep that in mind. So that goes on. Now, October, this is when I get a clue. This is exciting. This is just, it's still October. So this month, I finally figured out what's going on. So in October, we're coming to morning prayer again, and Lori McCowan is telling a story about how she was online watching Bethel at a prayer meeting, and there's a guy on there that had been at Brownsville. Where's Brownsville? You guys know?
Panhandle.
You know what happened? Why is Brownsville famous? Because they had a move of God in the
90s.
Right. There's a guy on Bethel out in California praying into God, do it again like you did in the 90s at Brownsville when I was there. And I suddenly go, that's it. That's got to be the 8th or 10th time I've heard the 90s. And I get a piece of paper and I start making a list, which you've just seen, right? And so I go, that's got to be 8 or 10 things. Something's up with God in the 90s. So now I'm paying attention. Tony has a clue finally. Hours later, I go to Thursday afternoon pastor's prayer. And I go, we're praying, and we're praying into God coming and moving. I forget what we're praying into. Glory, I think, at that point. I think we're praying into glory. And I said, hey, guys, I sat on it for about 20 minutes, and it just kept bubbling in me. And so I said, hey, guys, I'll just throw this out there. I am really feeling like not only does God want to do a new move in Brevard County, but he wants to awaken something old, something that the thing that happened in the 90s and the 2000s. He wants to revive the revival we had then. And somehow they fit together. So I'm sharing this with them, and I'm going, well, there you go. It's out there. We'll see how this flies. And then Ken Malone is really an apostle in Florida. He's been for, I don't know how many years, 20 or 30 years, leading a prayer movement that encompasses the state, traveled all over the state, and relocated to Melbourne from Central Florida, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, three or 4 years ago. I don't know when. Sometime. I'm terrible at time frames, but it hasn't been that long. So Ken Malone prays Job 14, verses 7 through 9. For there is hope for a tree if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its roots may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the earth, yet at the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. So he's praying into a dead tree coming back to life. And I'm going, I think I'm smelling water. I'm kind of interested in this. You guys interested?
Yes.
Again, maybe this is all just a coincidence. Maybe I'm crazy. We'll see. But it's at this point, Laura Gonda, Jaron and Laura, come and lead worship for us at that prayer meeting. Laura says, interesting, Ken, that you should pray about a tree. I had a dream about you and a tree. You want to come tell them the dream? Trying to get all this in. It's a lot of stuff.
So in January of 2019, I had a dream. And in the dream, I walked down a long hallway, and there's a door. There's many doors. And at the end, on the right, I walk into an open courtyard. And it's open to the sky, and it's full of sand. And it's just bare ground. And on either side of the courtyard, there was a huge olive tree, but neither had a single leaf. They were big and strong, no leaves at all. And I look over to my left, and I see Ken Malone standing in the courtyard. When I look back to the trees, instantly, they are both completely covered in leaves, and they shade the entire courtyard.
All right.
Amen.
So, little interpretive thing here. Leafy trees are better than barren trees. Right? Fruit's good. Found that dream interesting. Now, what happens when you're looking at dreams, a lot of times, there's a couple things going on here. A lot of times, like, I'm in people's dreams a lot. People come to me and say, hey, you're in my dream. And the first thing I do is go, what do I represent to you? Because it's not for me, it's for you. I represent something. If it's, you know, the pastoral or whatever. So Ken, to me, is an apostle of prayer. He's been building prayer statewide for years and years and years. So on one level, this dream I think means that when the prayer movement ramps up, the trees will get leaves. But also might be a timing thing, an indication that when you see this guy standing there, it's time for leafy trees, right? Either way, I want to head for leafy trees. Now, what I found interesting was, as she's sharing this, she had actually shared this dream the week before, but Ken wasn't there. The reason she'd share the dream was because she saw two olive trees. Tim had been praying into Zechariah chapter 4, Tim Franklin, the week before. In Zechariah chapter 4, there are two olive trees, and there's oil dripping into a lamp, and it represents the anointing. In fact, that's where that famous verse is, "Not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord." That's Zechariah chapter 4. And so it's talking about the anointing of God. And Tim had been struck by it and had been praying into the oil and the anointing of God. And Laura says, "Hey, I had this dream about two olive trees." And then Ken shows up the next week and prays about a tree. She goes, "I still have this dream about two olive trees and Ken." And so I'm going, okay, I'm kind of feeling like maybe I'm onto something here. And then after the prayer meeting, Roger Hackenberg, who's a pastor up in Titusville, who was here in the 90s, says, "Hey, Tony, do you remember that word from the 90s about the two waves? Now, I have kept and written down all the words I could find in the 90s, but for some reason I didn't have this one, and I don't remember it." He goes, "Oh, yeah." He goes, "There was a word that there would be two waves, that the first wave would knock people down and they would play in the surf." Now, if you were here in the 90s for the renewal, there's not a better description of that move of God, because about 80%, now lots of really cool stuff happened, but a lot of what happened was people went out in the spirit and laughed. It looked fun, we don't know why. But so that was an apt description. So anyway, the rest of the dream said there were two waves. The first wave, people would be knocked down, would play in the surf, and then things would go back to normal. He said, but the second wave would change everything, which got me excited. Anybody want a second wave? Now, I don't know. I don't have time frames. I don't know when, but I want a second wave. And then after Roger gets done talking to me, Kim Malone comes up to me and he says, "Hey, by the way, before I moved here," he goes, "I'd gotten, God had given me words for several cities." He says, "But the word for Melbourne was really weird. And I think it's partly why he moved here." He said, "God told me that Melbourne will experience the aftermath of his glory. And the word aftermath was so strange that I had to go look it up." And he goes, "And it literally means a second harvest." And I went, "Well, that's good too, Ken. Maybe this is all coincidence, but I might be onto something here. God may be trying to show me something," right? So I'm now believing this. Now, in the midst of this, Greg Phillips lives up, he was a pastor here for, I think, about 20 years, children's pastor, primarily an associate pastor. He moved up to the Carolinas. I don't think he's, we've kept in touch very little, off and on, but I don't think he's been here to church for years, 5 or 8 years. Yeah, not since like probably like 8 years. But he showed up at church one Sunday a few months ago, and if you were here, you remember, he said hi. And then I said, "Great, next time you're in town, let me know, maybe we'll have you speak." And so he calls me up, and I've just finished the schedule out through December, so I'm feeling good that I know who's talking when. And he says, "I'm going to be in town." I'm like, "Dang it, he's screwing up my schedule." Very organized. I hate when people screw up my organization. Which is, you know, God probably finds amusing. Anyway, Greg tells me he's going to be in town right now. He's in town right now. And I said, "Well, look, this week won't work, but we'll do next week." And so I have Greg coming to speak next week. And I'm thinking to myself, huh, Greg was here in the 90s. He was working here for us, but was also part-time at the radio station down in Vero Beach, the Christian radio station. One of the most famous things that happened here in the 90s was the radio station blew up on the air, so to speak, in the spirit. People were having stuff happen in their homes. They were going out in the spirit. People started stopping by. They got people laying all over the floor at the station because they were just coming by to get prayer, and God's healing people and stuff's happening. And Greg is the DJ during all this, right? And I'm going, huh, I wonder if this is another one of those 90s things. Could be just a coincidence. By the way, just for fun, Katie, hate to put you on the spot. Dang it. Katie hasn't visited us in years, but she decided to come this morning. I remember Katie. My first memory of her when she came in was somewhere in the early 2000s, we were doing Fire Dweller. We were doing this prayer thing. We were doing Heart and Bold Prayer with a bunch of teenagers. She was one of them. Ken Malone is going to have a prayer meeting down at Kingdom Gate, and he says, I need a band that can do harp and bowl prayer. So we take our youth band, and Katie and Trisha basically lead that prayer meeting because no one else knows how to do harp and bowl, and I just put them two up there, and they went crazy. And then she visits this morning. It's probably just a coincidence because I haven't seen Katie in years. Anyway, whether it's a coincidence or not, I want to go for it, because what have we got to lose? So, Greg, next week, the week after that, Rachel and I are going to do the History of God Moving, just to refresh your memory, get you a little excited. And then following that, we're going to have that Go For It weekend. It's going to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, second weekend, November. I think it's 12, 13, 14. Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning. Good speakers. We got, it's really hard to get, Javier LaBoy, amazing worship leader. He's going to be doing Saturday morning. You don't want to miss Saturday morning. He used to do our worship at the In the Fire conferences in the early 2000s where it blew up and all kinds of cool stuff happened. So it's going to be fun. And then, Ted's going to be here. Ted, that's the week Ted's coming down. So he'll be here for that whole week. We'll be praying. And then in December, we're going to have Chris Reed, who is literally the newest national prophetic voice I know of, and Stuart Greaves, who was here in the 90s with us in the early 2000s through all this stuff. So we're literally going to have the new and the 90s right there together in December. And I'll tell you more about that as that gets close. But I just feel like maybe God's up to something. And I should clue you in. Perhaps we should go for it. What do you think? Okay, so how do we go for it? Well, let's just, because of Keith's word, let's just say God underlined fasting, and maybe you should do some of that. And again, I'm not real big on telling you when we're going to do a fast from here to here. Just, it's coming. Pick a day, pick a couple days. Do some fasting and prayer. If you have, you know, reasons you can't do it with food, do something else. If you're a teenage boy, and if you fast, if you don't eat like every half hour, you pass out, because that happens, right?
It happens to my kids.
Yes. So go ahead and eat every half hour. Maybe do something radical, like fast your iPhone. Or, That's just crazy, isn't it? Or video games or something like that. The point is, you're saying, I'm going to give this up, and I'm not just going to give it up. I'm going to take that time I spent with this and spend it with you, God, in prayer and worship. That's fasting and prayer. Fasting without prayer is just a diet. We're just saying, God, I love you more than this. I want you more than this. All it is. Pick of this. I don't care. So I would encourage you to do some fasting and prayer. I would encourage you to, I think deep worship is a way we go for it. So part of what we're doing on this Go For It weekend is the teachings aren't going to be overly long. We're going to give a lot of time to just spend time in worship, just to go deep in God and give God time to interact with us. He's not usually in as much of a hurry as we are. I don't know why. He's got lots of time on his hands. Anyway. And I want to give you a couple verses just to think about and one admonition that I feel strongly about. In Psalm 110, verse 3, prophetically, it says, "My people will be volunteers in the day of my power." Now, the word volunteer means free will offerings, or they will offer themselves freely, right? So here's my question. Are you ready? It's an important question. Does God bring the day of his power, and then his people go, "That looks good, I'll volunteer"? Or do we volunteer, and God goes, "That looks good, I'll bring my power"? Yeah, you guys sound like you believe it's the second one. Okay, you understand this volunteering thing is important. It does seem to fit with Romans 12, 1 and 2, that as we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, that somehow proves his good and acceptable and perfect will. In other words, God goes, "Oh, you presented your body as a living sacrifice. I'm going to empower that, and everybody will be able to see that that works." Right? And so I want to encourage us to just present ourselves as free will offerings. And then God will tell you what he wants you to do. Amen? 2 Chronicles 16, 9, I love this passage. I'll give you the context of it in a minute, but it says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him," or who is, it literally means wholehearted. So it just says God's looking through the earth. Is there, I want to display my strength. Is there anybody wholehearted I can use to display my strength through? He's just looking. He's looking right now. He's here. I know you don't hear him, but he's here. Looking around the room, going, "Is there anybody here? What about these young people? I wonder if I could display, they get wholehearted, I could display my power through them," right? Now here's the context of this verse. Asa is the king of Judah. Asa is a really good king. Asa has already had enemies come against him and cried out to God, and God has delivered him, and he's conquered those enemies. But Israel starts getting a little bit full of himself, and Israel starts messing with Judah. And Asa, instead of going to God, goes and makes a covenant with Syria. It's just north of Israel. He says, "Look, we'll be buds. You attack Israel, and they'll leave me alone." And Syria goes, "We're on it, dude." And so they do that, and it works. And God, through, I think it's Hanani, the seer, comes and talks to Asa and says, "Dude, you blew it." Says, "My plan was to give Syria into your hands to conquer them. They wouldn't be a problem. But now, because you relied on them instead of on me, you're going to have wars with them in the future. They're going to be a problem." So all up until that time, Asa had been relying on God. But somewhere in there, he got nervous and started relying on other things. Any chance, anybody see any chance in the last year or two that the church may have begun to rely on other things? I'm telling you guys, I am utterly convinced that a lot of what we've been through in the last 2 years is from God, because he's after our hearts. Because he's trying to get the church's heart to return to him so that he can show himself strong on our behalf when we're wholehearted, so that he can bring the move of God that he wants to bring. And so it behooves us to be wholehearted. And the last thing, the admonition, is this. When whatever God's going to do happens, whenever God does it, I don't know when, I don't know how, and again, remember my disclaimer, I could just be crazy. But I think God's going to do something. And when he does, I'm feeling this strongly, that we need to be careful about the admonition in Matthew 9, that you can't put new wine into old wineskins. New wine will break old wineskins. Needs new wineskins that can expand with the change, right? And so I feel very strongly to warn you, if you were here in the 90s, yes, God's going to revive something of that move of God. And yes, it's going to be new. He's going to add to it. But it's very important that you do not try and shove this thing into a 90s wineskin. Amen. That you are open, that we are paying attention to what God's doing, that we are adapting to whatever is new, because the 90s was a lot of fun, but I want better. I want more. I don't want to just do that again. Amen? So let's be careful. No one thinks they're a new, an old wineskin. You're all thinking about someone else right now that should hear this. Right? Did anyone, I mean, don't raise your hand. Did anyone go, yep, that's me. I'm an old wineskin. I hate change. So, but we might be. So we got to be ready for God to poke us and challenge us and go, old wineskin, I'm doing it different. Don't get locked into that. Amen? All right. So let's have the band up. And let's just take this opportunity. We got about 20 minutes left to worship. Aaron, you want to, I told you we're doing the Go For It weekend, second weekend in November, Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning. Sunday night is just going to be for the youth and 20-somethings. And here, I'm going to tell you this ahead of time. Are my young people, you paying attention? We're bringing Chris Reed and Stuart Greaves in for a whole weekend. This is not inexpensive. And both of these guys are national speakers, international speakers. They're highly desired. They're going to speak Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning. Sunday night is just going to be for teens and 20-somethings. We're bringing these guys just for you guys.
Amen.
Dang it. Because we really want to sow into what God's doing in your generation. So get your friends here. All right, Aaron, you better take over.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Big deal. And not because they got some big name. It's just because this is what we feel called to do, and because we felt called to bring these people, and we know that God is up to something. So we want to invest in it. We want you guys to invest in it. And if you do, starting even today, you can invest in whatever God wants to do, and you can start to see the fruit of it. As he talked about, the eyes of the Lord search to and fro over the whole earth to see who he can show himself strong on behalf of, whose hearts are fully devoted to him. So right now, you don't even have to know anything about the scripture. God loves it when we get to know and grow in the knowledge of God, but that's not the requirement for God moving powerfully through you. There's all sorts of examples in the Bible of people that are just, they decide to go for it. They don't know anything. The woman at the well, they just say, yeah, Jesus, use me. Let's do this thing. And then God starts to use them immediately. So that's available for you today. So at this conference coming up here in November, there's going to be some local guys. I don't know if you talked about it. Josh Franklin and Javier LaBoy. I don't know if you know him. The guy's awesome. Anyway, it's going to be good stuff. So never mind talking. I want to worship with you guys.